With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Hello and welcome to the Guitar Nerds Podcast. I'm your host, Mark Packham, joined this evening by Matt, Intercontinental Champion Knight.
Hello.
Jay, European Champion Cross.
Okay.
And Joe, NXT Women's Champion Branton.
Yeah! Oh, I love the NXT.
Yeah, it seems to be a running theme of this podcast that we watch a bit of wrestling beforehand.
Yeah, me and Mark were watching women's wrestling.
Yeah, that's good. Get us in the mood. Everyone's here!
We're all here.
Woo! Microphones.
When was the last time we did a foursome?
I think I'm like 2 weeks out or maybe more.
Yeah, Matt was off a week before that, maybe?
I think maybe I was off the week before Matt was off.
Yeah. It's been a long time. I know that because only two of the microphones were like to hand. I had to dig out the other ones.
Were they disinfected?
Yeah. You're right.
Yeah.
Good. How's everyone been? How's everyone doing now? All good?
Yeah. I can't believe it's like dark outside already. What happened to summer?
It's gone.
I came back and summer had literally disappeared. The day I came back, wow. Summer went. Why? Now it's dark and cold.
When you came back from where?
Yeah, so Matt, you got some stuff to tell us. We've all been away and doing stuff that we can talk about. Matt, do you want to go first? Because you've been off for a couple of weeks and you've been doing something very interesting and very, very relevant. What have you been up to?
I went to Gibson to visit the custom shop factory and it was very, very fun and very hot and I spent money. I got a chance to basically go out to the Gibson factory, but just the custom factory, and spec out a load of guitars, have a factory tour, and pick out a load of tops.
So, what would you... Yeah, just tell us about it, basically. Like, I know you've written some stuff up on the internet already that people can read and stuff like that, but, Nashville Custom Shop Factory.
Yeah,
What is it like? What's it all about?
What's it all about? So the Custom Shop Factory is a completely separate factory to the Gibson Standard Factory. So they don't make any of the standard 2015s or any other models there. They purely just make the Gibson guitar, the Custom Shop guitars. They only make 50 a day, which I thought was pretty mind-blowing considering Standard do 600 to 700 a day.
Wow.
And you think how many guitars that is. That's like a whole one of our stores, like output. Every day. So the fact that Gibson only make the custom only make 50 was just like you can tell how much more goes into every model. And what was amazing is that having a full tour and kind of what their new products are about this year, there's so much stuff that they just don't shout about that's kind of like really amazing. And the main thing about that is all the customization that you can go through. Like, we've known about made to measure for ages, but the extent of the made to measure now and like the order forms for it are like mind blowing. Like how much stuff, it's basically like Fender Custom Shop in a sense, like how much cool stuff you can spec out like really easily.
So it's information that you put up on your, you did a little tour diary, little blog thing. There's different levels of the kind of made to measure, like choose your own custom shop basically. And I didn't know that. Obviously we know Fender, you know, you've got things like just a regular custom shop, or, you know, Closet Classic or Relic, and you can switch parts in and out. Gibson kind of do a similar thing, don't they?
Yeah, basically, and this was news to me. Effectively, now you've got made to measure, which means that any of their core custom shop models, Les Paul Custom, SG Custom, some of their hollow bodies, can basically be changed without kind of like drastically doing something like really crazy. So if you take a Les Paul Custom, you can basically have one pickup or two pickups. You can change what fretboard wood, what color, what pickups, what hardware, what neck profile, and you can do that on all of their models. So no matter what you want, if custom shop make it, they will do it effectively. And then they do the same on their True Historics. So basically, the one thing I didn't realize this year is that Gibson True Historics, they're only making 800 a year in 59s, and then everything else is limited to that, and they're only doing it in three colors, two of which are the original colors. So if you go, oh, I really want a True Historic 59, but I want it in, I don't know, candy apple red, they can do that as part of True Historic. So you can get like a completely vintage designed and spec'd instrument, but in a completely non-vintage color.
But there's a limit on how many of those they're going to do.
No. So this is the thing. So with True Historics, they're doing obviously 56 all the way up to 60, but they're only making a limited amount of each guitar in 1 year. So once they've gone, you basically can't, you won't be able to get any more until the next production year starts. But also, you won't be able to get them in any other colours. So if you just want a True Historic, but you don't want Cherry Burst or Dark Burst in a 58, 59 or 60, you basically have to, or you can do, a historic select, which means you can order any color. But then that also means you can change things like the pickups, or, you know, you can change the color, or you can go down the route of doing a base custom, which means that they'll pretty much do anything that you want. So some of the things I saw out there, like there's one guy who does like all carved necks, like carved tail pieces, like inlaid fretboards, like three-dimensional like carvings into the back of guitars. They'd like do all this sort of weird stuff that you've just like never seen before, that just like sits in cases on a wall.
I saw one of the pictures that you put up was like, didn't it have some sort of snake like carved into the heel?
Yeah,
like,
it was ridiculous. Bizarrely enough, so that was just like sitting in their warehouse. And they're like, oh, this is sitting there, just to give us an idea of what they can do. And it was like a green burst flamed Les Paul with flames carved into the neck heel. Flames carved into the pickups, and they were like, yeah, you know, if you want that, you can have it done. Like, we met this old guy called Bruce, who's been working for Gibson for like 50 years, and basically his job is to kind of just do all of that, like the super mega ultimate custom Les Paul. So it's basically like a Les Paul, but you can have whatever you want. You can have, he said he was doing one for a guy who wanted like an African savanna, like carved into the back of the Les Paul.
Sweet.
So like a 3D mountain and like a lion, and like all hand carved and like chiseled away with like a custom engraved like tree all up the fretboard. And, you know, it's that kind of like really crazy stuff that I had no idea they did at all. But the guy sits there and carves them all by hand.
So you can finally get your dream guitar with Matt Knight inlaid up the neck, right?
At Matt_Knightsy.
You can literally have any, this guy though, he builds like experimental guitars for Gibson. So I put up a couple of, I've got some more to put up on the Guitar Nerds page, but he like built some experimental acoustics, like, you know, just for kind of like designs. And he built like effectively like a Les Paul, but it was like a Les Paul, but like really contoured. So it was like a mini Les Paul. And he was just like, yeah, I'll just sort of build this, and I'll just like build that, and I'll just experiment like doing some weird stuff on necks. And that's all he does. He just like designs and creates new things for Gibson. So it's kind of really amazing to see that they will go to like crazy lengths. I don't just build a guitar in like a different color. And yeah, so it effectively means that if you want a certain Gibson and you've never seen it, now it's easier than ever to order it, and it only takes 90 days.
Is that
unless
all?
You have something
what?
Like crazy? Yeah, yeah. So if you just want, if you just went like, because I when I was out there, surprisingly, I was like, ah, maybe I should spec something up that I want to buy. So I specced up a one pickup Les Paul Custom.
Of course you did.
In shell pink.
Really? Oh.
Yeah.
Amazing.
I didn't order it though, but I was like, I really want it. Because I ordered a one pickup Les Paul Custom in shell pink with a 58 neck.
Oh, God.
And I was like, that would be awesome. And they were like, yeah, it would just take 90 days. And I was like, I can't save up for that guitar in 90 days. So they're like, because of the way that they work the custom shop and how all the specs are done, if you pick the standard specs off the sheet, it's just put in a queue and it's just done. It's like, it's all just part of their like working process. If you want something like different done, like electronics, you can even have coil taps, different pickups, you know, pretty much anything that they'll do. And they'll actually go to the factory and they'll work out what the scale production cost will be and how much time it will take. So it was pretty impressive. You can literally have, yeah, absolutely anything. One pickup Explorer in aged Silverburst.
Nice.
Amazing.
What, yeah. Do you know what the rough cost is? I guess like it varies from guitar to guitar, but do you know what the rough cost is for someone like at the three different levels? Like,
what was the cost of your shell pink?
I think it was going to cost, if it's going to go up on the ball, it wouldn't cost much more, if at all more, than a normal Les Paul Custom.
Really?
Because the way that made to measure work, which is like the ground level, it's all in the production already, so it doesn't cost them more or less to make it. It's just, it's part of their production. So if you wanted a one pickup Les Paul Custom, it doesn't cost them any more to do it. So it's pretty much the same cost. And it's the same with Historic Select. It costs the same as it does to make a normal true Historic. They're just finishing it in a different color. If you go for like base custom or, you know, something really wacky, then obviously it costs a little bit more because they've actually got to change the way they produce it in the factory. They might have to change the way that the CNC machine works or, you know, whatever. And that will cost more. But apart from that, most guitars are about the same cost that they are normally on the wall, which is quite a scary thought. And you're like, oh, I could just spec up loads of stuff and it wouldn't cost me any more money.
I mean, I think it's good that Gibson have sort of got to this point because it certainly hasn't been like that for very long. I mean,
no.
I remember when we first started doing a lot more of the Gibson Custom Shop stuff, there was a point where, I can't remember the exact figure, maybe you remember, Matt, but I'm sure there was like, they were so reluctant to get involved in actually doing anything custom shop, like proper bespoke custom shop, that if you wanted to spec something up, you had to pay like $1,000 for the quote.
And
then if you wanted to go ahead with the guitar, they'd then take that off the price of it. But if you didn't, they were like, well, you know, this is just for our time. And it's like, they've obviously seen how much Fender have been doing with their custom shop stuff and ESP have been doing with, you know, their custom shop stuff. That they've just gone, oh, I mean, this isn't really that much more work. Let's just put the infrastructure in place and get it done.
That's the crazy thing, is that with made to measure, something like that, it isn't any more work.
No,
and that's what's so amazing. And they've kind of gone, hold on, like people, and you know, because when we were out there, and you know, we went to pick some tops for some stuff that we were specking up, and they were saying that like the dealers in Japan go out every 2 months. They go out every 2 months and pretty much everything they sell in Japan is completely hand-selected and custom-ordered.
Right, wow.
It's like all made to measure because they're like, people don't, you know, there are some people out there who want a standard 59, but the Japanese market is so different that they want something like really crazy and really blingy and like really flashy.
And
so
like,
they go out there and they just spec everything up.
It must be worthwhile for them because now I went to the custom shop 5 years ago, I think it was, or 4 years ago. I think it was 2010 I went out there.
It was.
So it's 2010 I went out there and I can't remember, again, I can't remember the exact figure, but when you saying that the custom shop are finishing 50 guitars a day, I'm sure that when I was there, they were like, yeah, we finish 12 to 16, you know, and it's like, that's totally down to the demand because it was a lot smaller. It was a lot smaller operation. You know, that's so cool to know that they're doing that much more. And like the demand for the USA standard stuff hasn't gone down because that was, you know, that was 600 guitars a day, I think, when I was out there 5 years ago again.
So it's 40 man hours from start to finish, roughly, to make a custom shop Les Paul.
Really? I guess, but
yeah,
it's not. It is man hours, but it's not man hours in that it's CNC routed rather than it's not someone carving the guitars, no. Is it?
And also,
yeah, well, actually, it was funny you say that because he actually said that they've never ever been hand carved from start to finish. They've always used a CNC machine, which is a really like common thing. And people are like, oh, it's not hand carved anymore. But they've never actually been hand carved ever. Not even in the 50s. They were machine cut and then hand sanded on top. Because I, you know, you get that all the time. People are like, oh, they don't make them by hand. But I don't think you could physically make that many guitars by hand, and they just wouldn't. I just don't think they'd all turn out to like a consistent standard either.
No, they'd probably end up some of them being amazing and some of them being terrible. So what else did you see Gibson wise? Did you go on the Gibson bus?
I went on the Gibson bus. Okay. I played Joe Perry's unpick up Les Paul Access with Wilkinson Trem.
Oh yeah, how was that?
Was awesome. It was awesome. It was like such a cool guitar. Played Don Felder's prototype, his like 58 prototype Les Paul.
Absolutely Don Felder.
Absolutely Don Felder. We got to go in the aging room, which was like
a room full of old men.
Apparently.
So you've got a big beard at the moment.
Yeah.
Spent 5 minutes in the aging room, adds 10 years on. It's like some weird Star Trek nonsense.
Apparently it's like a massive privilege because apparently they're really secret about the way they do things. And Edwin Willis or Wilson, who was the guy who was basically runs the custom shop, was just like, just come in. And that was where his office was. And they were talking about, he basically developed like modern relicking for Gibsons. Like he developed all the techniques with Tom Murphy. And every single line on a custom shop relic is cut by hand.
So
with
the
razor.
So the like lacquer checking basically is.
Yeah, it's all done by hand.
Okay.
One line at a time. And the thing he said that's difficult is that lacquer doesn't, and I didn't realise this, lacquer doesn't crack from the top, it cracks from underneath. So like true lacquer cracking is basically where the wood's drying underneath and the lacquer's drying underneath. So you've got to try and replicate the way it would crack from below rather than above.
So I wonder if it's where the base coat cracks and then the top coat then kind of falls in sort of type thing.
Yeah, effectively. So when you're cutting it from the top, you're relicking it in the way it wouldn't have naturally relicked. So they have to kind of, that's why they do it all by hand, so it looks much more realistic. Just got to see a lot of the experiments they were doing, kind of the weird bits and pieces they were doing in the relicking room. There was like just bits hanging up where they were trying different things and experimenting on different guitar bodies and stuff like that, which was kind of cool. Got to play an original 59. Original 59, a 60 and a 59 pickup Les Paul Custom. Also, one of the scariest moments was I picked up the 60, plugged it in, and it didn't work.
Really? That's because you touched it.
At least you didn't drop it.
I plugged it in and was like, oh God, it doesn't work. Like, have I broken it? Have I actually broken this like super expensive guitar? So I said to the guys, like, oh, it doesn't work. He went, yeah, whatever. They were in those really crappy 80s Gibson cases.
Oh yeah, the really ones that, like plasticky.
Yeah, they were just in the guy's office like next door, just like three of them, like over £1 million worth of guitar.
Is it because, Matt, when you picked that guitar up, it wasn't plugged into any pedals, which instantly meant that you didn't know how to use it? You didn't know how to make any noise come out?
Oh no, because I still plugged into a Blues Junior, so it was fine.
Fine, classic.
Of course Gibson have a Blues Junior.
you put up some pictures of this on the Facebook group and it's like, surely they've got some Gibson amps lying around.
Well, I mean, not really. I mean, they don't really make anything. They haven't made anything for a long time. The only thing that, they had a Blues Junior and then like a Marshall Stack.
Cool.
That was kind of it. Oh, I got to go to the Epiphone warehouse as well. I met Dr. Epiphone for the first time.
Dr.
Epiphone. Never met the doctor before.
I've never met the doctor.
Did you meet James Kim as well?
I met James Kim. He remembered Wes from when you went out on your
Brilliant.
Visit. And it's an all completely new warehouse there. It's only been open about a year and a half. And they've built like a huge museum, like Epiphone Museum, stuff like that there. And probably one of the biggest room I've ever seen filled with guitars. It was massive, and it must have had 40 or 50 like pre-1930 Epiphone guitars in there, including like a
Hang on, you jumped. Go back a bit. They must have had what?
40 or 50 like pre-World War II Epiphones.
Oh, yeah. What? The pre-Gibson Epiphones. Yeah. I've got pictures of those from when... have they got that many? Because when I was there was only... I think they had 20 or something, and they were saying that they just bought that collection off of someone, and because they were pre Gibson Epiphones.
Yeah.
So they were, because when Gibson bought Epiphone in what, 56, 54,
yeah,
something so, like that, 54 or 56, and before that, Epiphone was just a company that built like acoustic folk instruments.
They had they did the Caballero, that really nice parlor.
Right. Yeah. Okay. And I've got pictures on my phone from when I went out there of a lute from the late 1800s or something. It was insane.
What I didn't realise was that the log Les Paul, the log, his original one was an Epiphone neck, because he was friends with
Dr. Epiphone.
Guys, with the guys at Epiphone, and he used to go in there in the downtime of the workshop and use all the tools, and he built the log with the railway sleeper and then an Epiphone neck. And then bolted on two halves of another Epiphone archtop.
That's amazing. I had no idea that's
how it started. But they also had just bought an Epiphone amp, and this is bonkers. It was an Epiphone, matching Epiphone amp and guitar. So the amp had loads of effects in it, like tremolo, vibrato, like all that sort of stuff. But they were all controlled from the guitar.
Yes.
So you plugged the guitar into the amp, and then the switches were on the guitar, and then that turned on and off all the effects.
What was the...
That was a pure 1985.
It's like some weird, like, six-pin, massive cable. This guitar is from, the early 60s as well. Just one humbucker in the neck. Yeah.
Was it like an arch top, or was it like a solid body?
Yes, no, it's like a hollow body.
Really? And it had amp effect controls.
It had amp effect controls, yeah. So the amp
That's
itself
insane.
Just had a volume, and then everything else was controlled on the guitar.
I was thinking mid-80s for something
no,
like that.
No, this is like ancient technology.
Oh, this is
it was quite
Why
cool.
Why did they ever stop making that?
I don't know. I'll put some pictures up. It's mental.
I want to see pictures of that. That sounds amazing.
Yeah, I'll put some pictures up. And they had some old lap steels, some really old banjos as well. But it was just like a cool place. Like the warehouse is massive. I mean, obviously they ship thousands and thousands of Epiphones every day. But just seeing the QC department, 16 people checking, I think something like 60 guitars a day.
Right.
I think they try and do eight guitar in it, and everyone gets like a full setup check, like tune. It's like nuts how much they try and do in one day.
Do all the guitars, because pretty much everything's Chinese made now. There's no Indonesian or anything, is there, phone wise?
No, I don't think so.
Do they all ship to the US warehouse and then ship out from there?
Yeah, so if it's a US territory, then they ship to the US warehouse and they're QC'd in the US, or they go to Europe and then they've done it in Europe.
Cool.
But yeah, basically everything that gets sold in America that's Epiphone goes to that warehouse, and then they QC every single one of them.
Cool.
It's just like a pretty nuts operation, really. Like it was really like eye-opening to kind of just see how it's all done. And things like the tops in the custom shop factory, the guy who runs the factory spends 2 weeks of every month sorting through every piece of maple that comes in and then grades it. So every single piece of custom shop maple that's on a guitar is picked by him.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, so he goes out, views the log before they even cut it, and then that all gets delivered, and then no one can open it but him, and then he goes through every single top.
There are some pretty mental jobs in the world, aren't there?
Yeah, but I guess they do it for consistency, so
yeah,
that, you know, if they're saying it's a, you know, triple A flame maple, it's that he's
it's one guy's
that.
Opinion.
Yeah, yeah. Completely. What a job. He goes out and goes, that log, that's the one.
He's talking to me.
Yeah.
One day my log will have something to say about this.
Yeah. Log whisperer.
He's a log whisperer.
It took me nearly a whole day to go through one pallet of maple tops, which is probably like 100 tops, and they're getting pallets, like six or seven pallets, like every month. And he's just like sorting through them all, and all the mahogany, and he sorts through all the mahogany bodies as well. Every single mahogany body, weighs every one, and then sorts them out. It's like,
God, it must be. Think about his like life outside of work. Every time he like sits at a table or chops on a wooden chopping board.
Maybe it's like that scene in his house is like that scene in X-Men where that room they store Magneto when he's like in prison. Just everything's made out of clear plastic, so he doesn't have to look at wood at all for the rest of his day.
It was really nuts.
It's weird when people, you know, level kind of criticism at Gibson, particularly the custom shop and things like the True Historics, where they're saying like, oh, these guitars are so much money, they're not worth this, why would you pay that for a mass-produced guitar? And then you hear stories like that, like it's one guy who picks all of the tops and all of the bodies.
Yeah,
it's not really a mass-produced guitar, is it?
No. And I think the thing is that they, Gibson, and you know, and I said this to them, it's just like, they don't get it across enough, is that custom shop is like probably one of the best custom shops in the world. Like the guy who gave us the tour has started the custom shop, so he's seen every single model, you know, and has been involved in production. And basically True Historic is the result of 25-30 years worth of like R&D, effectively, you know, spending all this time perfecting building the guitars they built 60 years ago.
I think, and they do themselves a little bit of a disservice by still having custom shop and, or like the Historics and True Historic. If they, because when the ordinary customer sees those two and goes, oh, well, the only thing they've changed is the plastics, why is it so much more money? It's like, no, it's not actually that. It's like all the extra R&D and like all the other stuff that goes into that guitar. Mm. So maybe it'd be better to just sack off the normal Historics and only do True Historic, you know, just make that a real flagship and say like, yeah. And then, yeah, talk more about the fact that there's one guy picking the bodies and necks and they are like, basically, you know, not a hand-built guitar, but, you know, a prestige instrument, you know.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's so much and so many stages that go into the build of every guitar. It was just kind of like, it just really blew my mind how many people are working all the time and how many people are so skilled at just the one thing they do. You know, everyone who works in that factory just does one job. They don't, like, kind of all chip in and do something else. They, everyone there has one job.
What happens when one of them phones in sick?
I did actually ask that question, and basically they have to try and have someone on standby who also works in the factory. But apparently not many people do.
So they, like, the cleaner basically can secretly do all the other jobs.
Yeah,
they're like, oh, Steve's off ill. Call Mike. Get him in.
Goodwill Hunting.
Yeah.
The skilled job in the whole process is the binding, the scraping the binding.
Yeah,
when they're finished,
it's insane.
Like, they have to scrape all the paint off the binding by hand with a razor blade.
Is it still
like,
all
after
like,
they're finished?
Is it still basically like hand wrapped, the binding?
Yeah, all the bindings hand wrapped. Like, and that, and they do, like, we watched them do a few guitars and like, I can't believe how quickly and how much they've just got the job down. But yeah, everything's done by hand, wrapped, bound, pressed. It's like,
are the people that wrap the binding like totally stacked? Because I've kind of seen someone doing it and you have to like actually use your body a bit, don't you?
Yeah, the one guy there, although unfortunately for him, when we were got to that bit, he was binding and then he slipped and the binding came off and he punched himself in the face. And he was like, oh man. He was just like trying to wrap it and slipped, and because they're pulling the binding like around and they're wrapping it so tight, and he slipped and like proper like clubbed himself in the face.
Is he out cold?
Yeah, so that was a bit like that was a bit fun.
Oh wow,
this is the first thing that has ever gone wrong.
yeah
that sounds hilarious.
Yeah, it was quite funny.
Good.
But yeah, it just the whole, like, there's just so much detail that you could, it's a shame, I said to him, it's a shame that not everyone could go, because I think if everyone could go, everyone would walk out with a brand new guitar in their hands, because you just realise how much work and effort and time just goes into every guitar. And I think that's one thing that Gibson, to be honest, just don't get across, especially in the custom shop. And yeah, when you actually see it, and you go, do the whole tour, you realise that actually these guitars are like incredibly made instruments.
It's something that Fender do very well, and obviously they've got like the visitor centre and stuff like that. They kind of are able to kind of talk about the way they make guitars very well, and arguably there's a lot more time and effort that goes into something like a custom shop Les Paul than there is goes into like a Strat or Tele, because at the end of the day there's still a modular instrument, which the Les Paul certainly isn't. But yeah, Fender have got really good at kind of selling that experience.
Yeah, so it's kind of like the whole thing was just like, it really opened my eyes to custom shop, and it's just like, I just really want a custom shop Les Paul more than anything else. Sell all my Fenders, I'm going Gibson.
Oh damn. Joe Branton, you're also not with us last week. You're off on your travels, or a couple of weeks ago. Last week you were just, I don't know, couldn't be bothered or something.
No, I definitely had something on. it was my...
Was it a family meal? Yeah.
It's always a family meal.
No, it wasn't. It was my girlfriend's solo gig in London.
Oh, I don't care about that.
Our car broke down.
She doesn't play guitar. You can't mention it on this podcast.
No, but our car broke down, and it meant that she had to get the train to London for a gig with all four synthesizers, her sequencer, her vocal effects pedal, her two loopers, and two mic setup that she uses.
Why didn't she just stick it on a USB stick?
Yeah.
Just play.
Mini disc player. Have you ever seen that Big Train sketch where one of the fellas from... it's not actually him, it's someone as him. He's one of the fellas from Emerson, Lake and Palmer, and he's fighting in some sort of mythological war, and he wants to take all of the synths with him, so they stack them up on the back of a donkey. And that's kind of what I envision here.
I was the donkey.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So you missed that, and then
that's right. Yeah, that was last week.
How was the gig?
It was good. Yeah, it was random. It was at in Finsbury at a place called The Finsbury, which is quite a nice sort of candlelit chilled venue, and as it turned out. The Standard Lamps were also playing that show. The Standard Lamps has a chap called Mike Wilton, who's their guitarist and lead singer, who also works with me. And I didn't even know that he was playing. And his band recently supported The Who on their last tour. So yeah, so it was cool to bump into him. And yeah, it was a very good gig. I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Do you want to do a quick plug?
Of what?
Of your girlfriend's band.
Oh yeah. It's called For the Love of Pipes, or FTLOP. Yeah, it's like weird.
Footlop.
Yeah, footlop. Okay. But yeah, it's like weird, like fairy tale, dark synthy stuff. It's cool.
Okay.
I thoroughly enjoyed it. But yes, the week before that, I was at Arctangent Festival, the ultimate festival for gear.
Okay, so for those who don't know, tell us a little bit more about Arctangent.
Arctangent Festival is the UK's only math rock, noise rock and post-rock festival.
Okay.
It takes place in Bristol. There are four stages. This year, its headliners were such bands as the Dillinger Escape Plan.
I've heard of them.
Deer Hoof.
I've heard of them.
One of my favourite bands. Lit were there, 65 Days of Static.
Lit?
Lit? Light. Not Lit. Imagine Lit if Lit were there.
That would have been amazing. Lit's new math rock album.
Yeah, Light were there, sorry. Okay. And yeah.
It just sounds like a Lit covers band.
Yeah.
Lit Light.
Yeah, 65 Days of Static, Maybe She Will.
Don't know them.
No.
Let's just do the whole list and I'll say know them or don't know them.
Cleft.
I know them.
Alpha Male Tea Party.
I know them.
Cousin.
I don't know, Cousin.
Rolo Tomassi were there.
Let's not do this whole list. Let's make this the Patreon.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found. That project manager I could never seem to hire? And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more.
That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Joe reads out the festival lineup. We just go, yep, got need.
Amazing. But yes, so it was great because I went round and I was able to take loads of pictures and chat with all the mostly guitarists, occasionally bass players in all the bands, and talk to them about their setup. And I've got them all to I contacted loads of them afterwards and got them all to send me information on their setup as well. I'm going to write it up in a little blog for Guitar Nerds.
Cool.
Just about some of the coolest and weirdest ways of making sounds that these bands came up with, because I guess that's sort of the thing there, is that everyone's trying to out-weird each other. So you get some really bonkers effect setups, which were really cool, and some really weird guitars and weird amp setups in some case. Some cases, I think the weirdest guitar goes to Deerhoof, one of the two Deerhoof guitarists, who has a custom built. It's kind of like an 80s looking Jaguar.
What do you mean by 80s looking?
A bit like that Jackson skate caster.
Oh yeah, okay.
Remember that? A bit like that, but it's custom built, and he's had it sprayed in neon orange.
Sweet.
And when I say sprayed, I mean everything: the pickups, the fretboard, the headstock, and he puts neon orange strings on it as well. There is on all over the Deerhoof Twitter and Instagram before they were playing, because they only arrived a couple of days before they played, and the plane, so the airport, managed to run over his guitar.
Oh, what?
Yeah, and he was he only has the one.
Okay.
Despite their fame, and so he was uploading pictures of him trying to brace the neck to sort of, he had it in like a clamp where he was trying to make it straight again, so it did not attach to the body, and it was all twisted and
so it was like a bolt on.
Yeah, but so he, and he played it for the gig, and it sounded fine. So
who knows how it played? Yeah,
exactly. Probably played it awfully, but yeah, that was cool. And my band got to play, which was really good. We threw out 50 bananas, giant inflatable.
Not just 50 bananas.
That would be rubbish, but giant inflatable bananas to the crowd. They were throwing those around. I jumped off stage at the end with a squeezy bottle of tequila and sprayed it into everyone's face.
I saw a comment that someone took a photo of Joe squeezing tequila into someone's mouth.
Yeah.
And the comment was, "That's me. That was the first thing that I drunk that day, you monster."
Sweet.
Yeah, that was...
Because you were on stage quite early, weren't you?
Unfortunately, yeah, we did get... we got the
Shafted,
11:30.
I think
yes, that's right, yeah.
Oh, really?
We got 11:30 on the last day. And to put that in context, the day before they have a silent disco that goes on till 5 in the morning. So we were lucky. I think about 1,500 people turned up to our show, sort of, because the tent was at capacity. So that was really good. We were really happy because of that.
Who was on after you?
Yeah, all right, yeah, brilliant.
That's good. Who else did you see that was particularly good? Or was there any other weird gear that you want to...
Dillinger Escape Plan didn't crap on anyone, which was nice.
That's always a good start.
They did climb to the top of the arena, which was... There's some great video footage of it. It must be... over 20 foot
really?
High and okay. Jumped off of it into the audience,
yeah.
Which is quite good. I saw someone was crowd surfing round a dinghy in a Scottish band called Vassar's set, and the bass player, who was on a wireless, jumped into the dinghy as it came near the front and then played the rest of the set
in
surfing
the
around in the dinghy.
Amazing.
Which was incredible. It would have been amazing if he didn't play a 6-string Spectre.
Ruined it.
Yeah, ruined it.
It's gone from something really cool to something uncool.
A bit like a paddle, though. Yeah. I bet it looked a bit like a paddle.
It did. Oh my God, it did look like a paddle. But I can't think other sort of ridiculously interesting equipment. I mean, Orange endorsed the event, so and so there was an awful lot of Orange gear there, which was nice to see. But no, I can't think of any other especially interesting things that I saw. Just lots and lots of good stuff. I think the Alpha Male Tea Party guitarist for me again won sort of a guitarist of the event.
He's a sort of madman.
Yeah, with his, he's got an amazing pedal setup, and his amp setup is, I always say it wrong, I always say like Solando, and it's Sonaldo.
Soldano,
is that it? It's Soldano,
what,
yeah.
The amp?
Yeah, he
the
has
really Soldano. Famous amp brand.
Yeah. I know, whatever. He has a Soldano and a an old Music Man bass head.
Okay.
As well, and plays, has like a,
wait,
a
is
double
it a,
amp set.
Is it a bass head or a guitar head?
Oh, it might be a guitar head.
Yeah,
if they
it's like silver faced.
Yeah, silver faced. And then he's put red Tolex on it.
So they're interesting because, and we've talked about them a few times before, but they're interesting because they are a hybrid, but it's a solid state preamp and a valve output stage.
Oh, amazing.
It's the other way around to which you'd expect. They sound really good. They're like a kind of like fat kind of twin type sound.
Oh yeah, nice. That is awesome. On other slightly gear related news, do you remember that that wedding band that I said I had to dep for?
Oh, you played on a bale of hay.
Yes,
we talked about that last week.
Did
actually.
We? Oh yeah, how did you know that I played on a bale
you
of hay?
You text me saying, "I think you're a bit boozed."
Okay. Was this the one where everything was in the same key and in the like the same song structure?
It was in E, but we were down half a step. So yeah,
every song.
Well, no, there were a couple of variants. I was exaggerating, right. But you know, 90% of it was moved into E sort of thing. Yeah, but it was good. Yeah, we played on a bale of hay, and it rained so much that we were being electrocuted by the microphones.
Nice.
There was like a tarpaulin over the top of us that because it was on a dairy farm. Oh my God, did I have fun with the dairy farmer when he found out I was a vegan. So really? That conversation was terrible.
I bet.
The farmer had to come around with a stick and sort of poke the tarpaulin to get the water
poke to get you out of the farm.
Yeah.
Get off my property.
It wasn't a prod, it was like an electrified cattle prod.
Yeah,
just like.
Exactly. That was rather good, but the guitarist plays an old, like a Japanese Telecaster, and it's the same as the guitarist in my band plays, in that it was made out of Empress wood.
Really light maple.
Yeah. Ridiculously, almost neck heavy.
Yeah.
The one that the guitarist in my band has is a 60s reissue, which obviously has a rosewood neck, and so his is balanced, but the this Japanese one is you know a late 50s one, and so that it's a very thick one piece maple neck, and because of that it's neck heavy
like an SG
on the Empress wood. Yeah, exactly.
Weird.
Which is a bit weird, but yeah, that's about me done. That's it.
Cool. Jay, before we started you said you didn't really have any news, but has anything sprung to mind, as it were? What's the best thing you've played this week? Well, you've kind of been off, haven't you?
Yeah, I was off last week,
so nothing.
I've been doing a lot of paperwork over the last couple of days, so it's been
sweet.
Yeah, no, not really. I did think of something to report, but no, not really. No, nothing to report.
Well,
nothing to report.
I've had quite a busy week,
to say the least.
So I've been in Germany this weekend, like flew out on Friday and flew back yesterday, I think, at IFA, which is the kind of CES of Europe, big consumer electronics fair, everything from headphones, which is why I was there, through to microwaves, to virtual reality headsets.
I didn't know Stag made headphones.
Yeah, right. Yeah, well, they actually do, but as we've established, I don't work for Stag. Big screen TVs. I saw some really big 4K.
Did you?
8K TVs.
8K?
Oh, yeah.
8K.
8K. That's not even
Can
the
Can you even see what's going on an 8K?
Yeah, that's the whole point.
I would have thought it's like beyond the, beyond the sort of range of human sight.
It doesn't. No, it doesn't work like that.
Oh, okay.
Also had some sort of like gaming chairs that moved. That was quite fun. But I was there doing some headphone stuff. But I did get to go to the audio room. How was this, right? So just an example of how big IFA is. We were in Hall 15 doing kind of like phone-related products, I guess, is what you... It was called the iZone, so it was like tech stuff. The audio room was in room one. It took me an hour to walk between the two.
What?
It took me an hour to get from where we were to a couple of booths that I wanted to visit, namely Gibson Brands and Marshall.
Right.
I walked through a very large white goods section with loads of different fridges. it's a big show.
Wow.
It's not the big show, but it's a big show. checked out a couple of booths. Firstly, the Marshall booth, where I went to see the new London smartphone that they're doing.
Oh, you cool.
I did. It was a bit of a weird setup. They had it kind of like squirreled away, so I didn't actually get a chance to listen to it, but I did get a chance to hold one and kind of flick through the menus and stuff. It kind of just seems like an Android phone, which is exactly what it is.
Well, I mean, but yeah.
It's got two inputs, though.
It's two outputs, two headphone outputs.
Yeah, that.
So, okay. And also stereo speakers as well. So, in theory, it should be quite good, but they were in a really loud area. So
stereo speakers built in?
Anyone
yes.
to hear it?
Sorry?
You said they did not want anyone to hear it.
Well, you never know. No, they were actually doing demos and stuff, but there was a bit of a big queue, and like I said, it took me an hour to walk there, so I didn't get a chance to listen to it. But it looks neat, if you like Marshall stuff. Like
How big is it?
It's like maybe a bit bigger than an iPhone 6.
Okay.
But yeah, it's smaller than your ridiculous phone, Joe. It's the 6 Plus, somewhere in between the two. But yeah, some neat functions. It's got some like built-in EQ and some like DJing software.
Okay.
Like if you were doing, it would be really good. If
oh, Marshall, that famous DJ brand.
Yeah, but it's not. It's more like kind of Insta mixing. So like if you put on. I don't know, what's a guitar song? Rage Against the Machine or something, and then Motorhead. You can like queue up Motorhead and it will do like a auto kind of mix between the two. So if you were like doing a party, you could queue up a few tunes and then mix.
You can do that on Spotify.
Yeah, but it like does
and iTunes.
It does like beat matching and stuff.
Oh, does it?
Yeah.
Okay.
It does like proper cool. DJing stuff. And some like neat EQ, and they've gone out and spoken to artists and
That's it. They've gone out and spoken to
us. No. They've got them to do some EQ presets and stuff.
Well, for like their own like songs. For their
I guess
like-
so. I guess that's the idea. Like if you like, I don't know, Skindred or whatever, you can probably, there's probably a Skindred EQ setting.
Right, okay.
But it was cool. It was good seeing their all their headphones and stuff as well. They do quite a cool little range. And
it's a croc.
No, it was good. It was good. There was no... Well, they did have some vaguely related amp products there. They had the, like, personal audio stuff they do, so, like, the Hanwell...
And the Acton.
Yeah, and the Milton Keynes.
The Camden.
Is that one?
I don't know.
I don't think it is.
No, but they are all named after places in London.
Yeah.
They're named after factories.
Oh, are they?
That's so, where their factories or headquarters were at some point.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, they were there. That was all looking good. I also swung by Gibson Brands, hoping to see some sneak peek at the 2016 range. They were not on display.
Right.
Loads of 2015 stuff. They had all the guitars out there.
Well, I bet they've got enough of it.
Well, maybe. Yeah, there's a fair few bits there, but mainly because it was more of a kind of consumer products. Loads of KRK. Who are their brand that they, their studio monitor brand that they own. Loads of Onkyo, which is their hi-fi brand that they own. And kind of most standout, I guess, the Gibson Les Paul studio monitors.
Yes.
They sounded all right.
Are they just repackaged KLKs?
They sounded very similar to KLKs.
Right.
I there was no one really around to talk to, and I suspect if I had talked to someone, they probably wouldn't have said that.
Right.
Okay. But they sounded, from what I could hear, again, it was a really kind of noisy arena.
Yeah.
With all those dishwashers going around. And around.
No. So they were just in a room that was for audio.
Yeah.
And the whole point was there was like a mix of like hi-fi people and like headphones and stuff. And so it was super loud, so I couldn't really tell. But the booth next to them was another brand who I have some friends who work for them who just do like headphones and like monitoring headphones and stuff. Who, of course, like all their stuff is in ear, and you have to kind of has to be quite quiet for you to appreciate how good it is. They'd been stuck next to a booth that had a car where they had like a really big in-car audio and had to be like powered up the whole time. So you basically couldn't test their stuff.
Right.
The layout was really, really weird. But the Les Paul studio monitors looked as you'd expect. They looked as out there as they look in the photos.
Yeah. It's
maple.
Is it actual flame maple?
It's flame maple finished in the same way that the guitars are.
Right, okay. So do they do those in a... Matthew, maybe. Did they do them in like...
No, because it's got to be a maple veneer, isn't it? So it can't be done in America. It wouldn't be cost effective for them to do that, surely.
But are they... I assume it must be proper Chinese sunburst as opposed to like... It's not like a photo sunburst.
No. There's a like... It's not... I don't think it's a veneer because a veneer is like super thin. I think it's like a cap, basically. Because it looks decent. It looks like a nice flame top. But I mean, do you want that on your studio monitors? Probably. I would say the answer from most people, probably not. Although the wine red ones actually looked pretty tasteful.
Right.
The sunburst ones...
They've got hardware.
Not so much. They did.
Did they?
No, they didn't. They didn't. But interesting to see.
They have a Bixby on it. You could tune the what's coming out of the speakers.
It actually had a snake carved up the back. No, it didn't. Interesting to see what Gibson are doing and how they lay out their stuff for the... Well, as we've talked about, they're a massive consumer electronic brand now.
Yeah.
And guitars are only 30% of their sales.
It's crazy.
So, yeah, interesting to see what they're doing. Loads of focus on Onkyo, which is Gibson's hi-fi.
Like the Onkyo stuff, I think like my parents maybe had an Onkyo, because they're like an old company, right?
Yeah, so I can't remember exactly how it works. I think we talked about this before. There was some sort of buyout, like Onkyo were owned by someone else, and then Gibson bought that brand.
Right, okay.
And it's someone like big, like you wouldn't expect. It's like Philips or something.
Yeah, okay. Because I think my parents maybe had like an Onkyo system when I was growing up.
Okay.
And I think you can buy them in like Richer Sounds and stuff like that.
Yeah, that's like, all Gibson.
Yeah, it's crazy. I bonkers.
So that was Aoife. And then yesterday I was flying back and had a bit of time to kick around in Berlin. So as well as walking through and seeing some nice Berlin sights, I stopped by the Ramones Museum.
Yeah.
Which, if you're in Berlin, you've got an hour or two to kill, then I highly recommend it. Loads of kind of unique stuff, but it's a venue as well, so there's like a bar and nice coffee and stuff. But two things that I saw that were super cool. Firstly, CJ Ramone, who was the bass player that took over towards the end of the 80s.
He was there.
He was not there, but one of his basses was his signature Moss Wright basses.
Oh, really?
Yeah, which is a... like Moss Wright shape, but it's just a single P bass pickup. That was super cool because I'd not seen one of those before. Whether you can actually still buy them, I don't know. I know Moss Wright stuff in this country is super expensive.
Because I think they only do that. Like
Ramones,
they only do that. It's a custom shop, I think.
And yeah,
you can like pretty much only get the...
I think you can still get, because the Moss Wright stuff is famous because of like the Ventures. Who were this kind of 60s surf band, used them. And I don't know, there's been some weird like copyright things with that shape. Like the Ventures a few years ago released their own Moss Wright type guitars, and people like Airline now do a...
Well, and you own...
Aria. And I've got an Aria-ish one, but that doesn't look exactly spot on. So there are people making exact Moss Wrights.
Right.
In fact, there's a famous... Moss Wright copy that Kurt Cobain played called the Uniflyer or something. The company that does the airline guitars, Eastwood Guitars, do a copy of the
Moss Wright
of the Moss Wright. Yeah,
right. Well,
yeah. So that was there, CJ's bass. But the main thing was the original Didi Ramone SVT head and 8x10,
yeah,
which was pretty beaten up. It was really, really cool to see. So cool. Yeah, it's just a 70s SVT, but that's the one. That's the one used on, like, the Alive record and stuff like that. So
that's cool.
It's like the original punk rock bass rig, yeah, essentially.
I went to... I can't remember where it was. I think it was the Hard Rock Cafe in London.
Okay.
About 10 years ago or so. And they had... they had Dee Dee's bass
right
in there, and actually
you
after
can pick them up for like 700 quid in most guitar shops.
Well, yeah.
Very good.
After you went there, I was talking to my girlfriend about the Ramones, because she had, like, when she was growing up, she had a Ramones poster in her room.
Yeah,
like, didn't we all? And she said that like her aunt or something went into her bedroom once and was like, oh, you like the Ramones, do you? I saw the Ramones once, I made out with Dee Dee. And Maddie was just like,
yeah, that's kind of cool, but also just for sort of personal hygiene, yeah, reasons.
Wait, does she mean recently?
Yeah, that'd be weird. That'd be weird. They also had a ton of paraphernalia from his rap career.
Really?
Yeah, it's worth a visit. Like, if you got time, do. And the people in there are super nice.
Do they all have the same haircut?
No. There was just a lady working in there who I think is like one of the curators,
right, okay.
So I had a chat to her about some of the stuff that was in there, and yeah, it's a real cool place, real like low key. They don't make a big fuss about it. It's like €3 to get in,
right?
And you can see some actual bits of kind of rock and roll history.
That's cool.
Yeah,
that's real cool. When I went to Amsterdam, I went to the Anne Frank Museum, which isn't quite the same thing.
Also, I went to Berlin.
Oh, why did I say? Oh, yeah.
Thanks for that fact.
I'm sorry, I totally jumped there. I don't know why.
I tell you what,
when I was in this other country, I went to a museum for something completely different.
I went to Norwich, sorry, once, and I stopped by a bus station.
For a sec, I totally forgot you said Berlin, and I totally thought you meant Amsterdam.
I said Berlin maybe like 10 times.
As soon as I said it, I realised how weird it was that I was.
And also, you know how I've been talking to you for like 2 weeks about how I've been going to Berlin?
Yeah. And like, yeah, I don't know.
Similar places though, both in Europe.
They are both in Europe. They're really far away from each other. Anyone been up to anything else they want to shout about before we dive into news?
I've got time. How long is this going?
So the way we think we'll do this is we'll do some news, because there's a couple of big bits of news, and then we'll do some questions in the Patreon episode.
Yeah.
Because we've been promising a bit of a sort of bumper Patreon episode. So we'll do that this week. We'll just go a little longer than normal. Should we do the news?
Nudes.
So first up, there is a brand new Joe Bonamassa signature
again.
Yeah, that's probably been a news story for quite a few podcasts that we've done. Yeah. Matt, do you know much about it? The new Epiphone Joe Bonamassa Les Paul.
It's in another different colour that he doesn't play.
Is it different? Because I think this was announced while I was away, so I haven't actually seen it.
The place where they make it, and.
No, they don't make it.
No,
there.
No.
Because the only one that I could... Is it a gold top that they're doing?
No.
It's brown.
It's green.
It's green. Sorry, not brown. I'm really not on form today, am I? It's green.
Cities, colours.
Like... Sorry, wait. The brown one is the guy from Bring Me the Horizon, so...
That's sort of red.
We talked about that. Actually, me and Mark talked about that last week.
Did we?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, we did. That all ties in.
Oh, yeah. With the big... I knew I'd seen a picture, I just couldn't think what it actually was.
Have you got the have you got some spec there, Matty? Give us a rundown.
So Gibson Burst Buckers, custom Inverness green finish, Bigsby B7 Rem. I don't know what they're limiting it to. Sustain for days, apparently. 24.75 scale, 12 inch radius. So it's kind of just like an Epiphone Les Paul standard, but it's got Burst
in green.
Burst Buckers in it. In Inverness green, but I really wouldn't call that Inverness green.
See, that's what I thought as well. I remember...
Well, you thought it was brown.
Well, yeah, I thought it was brown. No, see, I think Inverness green is more like... is like verging on like a surf green, whereas I thought this was more of like
Sherwood.
A...
Sherwood.
What, this was this more of a Sherwood?
Yeah,
I thought it was more of a... It was more of a darky green than a Inverness green.
Well, we've only seen one picture, basically, so far, so it's always a bit difficult to tell.
He looks pretty scary in the one picture as well.
Yeah, he looks a bit like Richard O'Brien in Rocky Horror Show. Yeah. He's got a similar sort of haircut.
I don't know what's massively different about it.
What was his one before? He had that Pelham Blue one.
And a gold top.
Yeah, which had gold in it. Yeah. So it's kind of like the same thing with a Bigsby.
I quite like the colour, I've got to admit, from what we've seen so far. But yeah, I mean, apart from that, do we need another Joe Bonamassa signature thing?
Who's buying Joe Bonamassa's signature thing?
Loads of people.
Yeah, I mean, he's massive. He's massive. He's very,
I did like, I, actually while searching for this, I did see that on the Joe Bonamassa web store, you can buy a Joe Bonamassa blanket. Comes with frisbee and sandals.
Those are two things that you definitely don't need with a blanket.
Yeah, because he wears sandals in that video, or that photo shoot rather.
Can you really buy a Joe Bonamassa blanket and sandals?
Yeah,
and frisbee.
You can't. Let me pull it up. Let me find it. Right. Okay. So Joe Bonamassa shop. It's under the 2014 collectible Bonamassa Guitarology blanket. This one's slightly different. This one has like a picture of a guitar on it, where the guitar is made up of the words the guitar of the different parts of the guitar, like body and headstock. Oh. It's the worst thing I've ever seen.
Well, like just the concept of like, you know what we should do, guys? We need to bundle in with this blanket is some sandals. You're not wearing sandals if you're under a blanket. And what do people like to do when they're...
Is it a blanket or though? Is it a beach towel?
No, there was also, it's sold out now, there was the Bonner blanket deal. Free flip-flops, beach ball and frisbee with every purchase.
He's just like the supreme troll, isn't he? Like, people saying, there's too much merchandise, he'll do sandals next. And he's like, yeah, I will. Get them ordered.
Yeah, the flip-flops have a picture of a Les Paul with the headstock over the foot.
He's so good.
That wasn't the same one I saw though. There's a different one with like his face on it, like in like
where's the face? Is it on the bit that goes over the sand, or the bit that you step on, or the underside, so when you're running through the sand you're leaving little Joe Bonamassa faces?
They also
just
do
emboss that.
They do a baby t-shirt that says Bonner baby on it.
Who would like sell t-shirts and stuff with things written on them and that? Pfft, don't know, that sounds dodgy to me.
You can also what's under the package deals
next week?
You can they also make like a pick and it's like him on a surfboard with no shoes playing through a Marshall amp.
What is the amp on the surfboard?
The amp's on the surfboard.
Yes.
Oh my, that is ridiculous. That is one of the worst. He looks like Nicolas Cage in The Pigs.
Oh dear. So another guitarist of questionable integrity is the other news headline this week. John Mayer switched to PRS.
What? Again?
Yeah. Indeed.
He only switched to Gibson recently.
I know.
Yeah, he switched to some ridiculous like semi-hollow 3 pickup PRS with about 20 switches on it.
Yes. Matt, have you had a chance to look into this?
I have actually. I spoke to the PRS rep to see what's official, and at the moment I don't think anything's official in terms of like an actual signature model.
No, it was just an Instagram post, wasn't it? That's all we've had from
so Maya. People, because we've had loads of inquiries about it, and it's like people are like, where can I get one? I want to try one. And as far as I'm aware, that is the only one. It's really similar to this. Was it the studio? I can't remember what they called it now. There was like a studio model they did that had those sort of pickups in it. But his has got loads of, like, bonkers switching, because that's basically 3 humbuckers.
It's it's those near field or narrow field pickups. Is that right?
Yeah, yeah. Because before that came out, he was actually playing a pink Jackson.
Yeah, it was like a, wasn't it a Charvel?
Maybe I think it was. I think it is a Jackson. I think it was like a purple sparkle Jackson. But yeah, as far as it stands, I don't think there's actually any official information about this John Mayer PRS. But I imagine it's probably on the horizon.
Ridiculous.
He gets three more signature brands than he does celebrity women.
Well, indeed. Apparently so. With that, chaps, we've gone over time, so we should call this here, and we'll do some questions and stuff in the... Indeed, in the Patreon episode. We're also going to find out yours and Matt's Desert Island bandmates, because Jay and I did quite an entertaining little Patreon episode a couple of weeks ago about that topic. We'll have questions from Paul, Ishan, John, Daryl, and that's it. And we'll do this Desert Island Bandmates. You can get that over on patreon.com/guitar nerds for a little donation of $5 or more.
$5.
These very, very nice people have done so. These are our Patreon backers for this month.
Dale Rascal!
Oh, careful there. Do you not need any backing music?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Back me up.
Dale Rascal, Jack Conroy, Will Clare, Chris Wilson, Scott O, Brian, Matt Quine, Fletch Fletcher, Phil Thompson, Moog Gravett, Colin Anderson. Very good. If you want your name read out, then
there are almost too many for me to...
I know. Well, I was going to say this, actually. So we've limited this tier. These are our executive podcast producers. We've limited this tier to 20, and we're over halfway through that now. So if
I
you
have
do...
have to come up with a different way of reading these out, because that was taking time.
Maybe we should do it like the...
Should I do it really fast?
Yeah, like the terms and conditions on a American healthcare ad.
Dale Rascal, Jack Conroy, Will Clare, Chris Wilson, Scott O'Brien, Matt Quine, Fletch Fletcher, Phil Thompson, Moog Gravett, Colin Anderson.
Very good. Terms and conditions aren't applied. So there's limited places left on that. So if you want your name read out in the podcast each week, do hop over to the Patreon, patreon.com/guitar nerds, and sign up to our executive producer tier, because we are running out of space. Now, as you may have also heard me mention briefly in the podcast, I think this week we're going to announce the pre-order for our first ever Guitar Nerds shirt. I'm going to try and put that up tomorrow. So,
is this the one that I designed?
No, it's the one I designed.
Not the one with your face on it?
No. GuitarNerds.net. Head over there. There should be a shop going up in the next couple of days. You can get in your pre-order for our first ever shirt.
Alternatively, if you want to buy the unofficial Guitar Nerds shirt, which I think looks much better, you can get one from my personal eBay account, where I'll be listing one with Mark's face on it.
Great. Good stuff. join us in all the regular places. Facebook.com/groups/guitar nerds forum, where you can submit questions, chat to other guitar nerds, share your pictures of your guitars, I think is something that they've been doing this week. So that's cool. We hop in there from time to time and get involved in topics. You can also follow us on Twitter at Guitar Nerds. There'll be a new YouTube video going up, because I've got some time off this week. YouTube.com/guitar nerds videos. Head over to the site for news about this new t-shirt, and Joe's going to put up some articles, guitarnerds.net. You can follow me on Twitter at @mark_random. You can follow Matt at @matt_nightsy. Follow Jay at @jaybn1 and Joe at @joseph_900. Thanks very much. If we see you on the Patreon episode, then we'll see you there. If not, we'll see you next week.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Yes,
bye. Bye-bye.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.